This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We will talk about the very famous losers who wear stars on their helmets and tell us again and again that they are America's team in a second. But before we do that, Stugatz, we were talking. We gave you a lot of stuff here before we started nationally. You could check out a South Beach session with Billy Corbin about 537 votes. It's going to appear on HBO, his movie, this week. But we got to talking about Cubans and Miami and how long Greg Cody and Stugatz have lived in Miami without learning much of anything about Cubans. And Stugatz has in front of him Café con Leche. He has in front of himself a tostada. He was complaining while we were making stuff earlier that you do not put buttered bread in coffee. That is not something you do, but it is something that Cubans have done with abuela for a very long time.
It seems like, and I don't want to do anything that would risk ruining the taste of butter. It seems like it might ruin the butter.
Okay, you know? So you have in front of you right now a café con leche, and let's see how this goes for you. You are not a breakfast person. You come in here every day, and you have basically a Kind bar for breakfast, and then you leave starving, complaining about why your wife didn't make you a sandwich. So,
thanks for airing that. I appreciate it.
So now, now you have now.
Just a single sandwich, Abby. That's it. I'll take half a sandwich. I mean, give me anything. Okay.
So now, here is Greg Cody. Greg Cody, have you never had this either? You have never had pan con café con leche. This is not something you've never dipped your bread in coffee and milk.
No, I love them separately, but not together.
Okay.
All right. So here is we want the rare honest answer.
A little early for coffee for me. I got to be honest with you. I'm not usually a coffee guy until the afternoon.
That's a weird. That is a weird thing. Most people are coffee in the morning as a pick me up.
Yeah.
Stugatz zigs when others
are
zagging.
What's your morning pick me up?
Sports.
Cocaine. Yeah. Cocaine and heaters.
If I had a sandwich, I mean.
Yes, or a sandwich if his wife would just give him one. All right. So here it is. Before we get to the Cowboys and the entire situation last night where the Cowboys get throttled in an embarrassing way at home.
Now, can I taste this quickly without dipping it into coffee just to remind myself how good toast with hot butter is?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Not just any toast. That's Cuban bread toast.
It's Cuban bread.
Delightful.
Okay, yeah. And I think you're going to like it dipped in coffee, too. We will see whether you find it delightful or not. Again, this is hand-me-down across generations in Cuban culture. This is, I believe, something Mike and Tony and Billy have learned. Is it from your parents or from your grandparents to dip butter, this kind of buttered bread in coffee?
Abuela Ida.
All right, so the one who made you a Browns fan, you've never forgiven her.
This was the good thing she handed down.
Okay, so here we go. Here is, did you dip it in there good? It doesn't look like you dipped it in there good.
I didn't yet, but Greg is saying there's not enough money you could pay him to do what I'm about to do. I mean,
it's delicious. I don't think there's, Mike, wait a minute. Before he goes down this path, do you think there's any chance he won't like this?
I think it's really good. You're going to like it. White people do this with fries and Frosties.
Okay. All right, so I'm dipping it in right now. And you're telling me keep it in how long?
Like, just dip it in, and you don't have to dip it very much. That's it. Go ahead. Now have at it and tell me whether you like it texturally, whether you like it the way that it tastes it, whether you like it better with without the coffee than with the coffee.
I will say it's delightful. I will say that I like it better without coffee because it's exactly what I feared. I taste the butter less. That's not a good thing. But it's very good, and I'd have it again.
Okay.
Okay?
What is going on with your hat? A lot of people are worried by the amount of sweat.
It looks like a morning pick-me-up on your hat.
It's, listen, when you play as much golf as I've been playing lately, because there's nothing else to do when I get home.
But do you have other hats? Like, you only have the one hat?
Well, I have this hat in red. I also have it in gray, and I also have it in black, and I'm going to try out the red one tomorrow.
They all have that much sweat across them?
Well, no. The three others I have not worn yet. This is the only one of the four that I wore.
Is there any particular reason you can't just wash it a little bit?
Oh, I'm having some more toast.
Was I supposed to understand that?
I was having some more toast. No coffee.
You keep waving that tostada in the air. I'm going to bite your fingers.
It is so good. My God. Why the coffee?
No need for the coffee. Fair enough.
That's fair.
Fair enough.
I mean, It's not as good with the coffee as it is without the coffee. So you're doing something. Now, maybe you want the coffee because you want a little pick-me-up in the morning with your breakfast, but I am telling you, it's a worse product. I mean, you're making it worse.
I disagree with you, but that's fine. I understand. I'm always in for more calories, as you know. So the thing that I wanted to ask you about what happened last night, and I know that so many of you are tired of anything that resembles race talk anywhere near you. And you don't want me flipping it out here gratuitously, but I'm actually curious about something. If Bill Polian can make the mistake of not thinking Lamar Jackson is a quarterback, never mind a most valuable player, just can't play the position, at least in part because his model for the quarterback is Peyton Manning. Is it possible that Jerry Jones is one of these people who thinks there's not a big gulf between Andy Dalton and Dak Prescott because the way that his quarterback has looked over time tends to be more like Troy Aikman? Like, is it possible or looks like Tony Romo? Is it possible that one of the reasons that Jerry Jones was undervaluing Dak Prescott, paying everyone except Dak Prescott, because right. He paid everyone except Dak Prescott. He's risking losing Dak Prescott. Is it possible that Jerry Jones underestimates? Because there were plenty of people who thought, hey, not a big difference between Andy Dalton and Dak Prescott. Those skill guys for the Dallas Cowboys are really good.
I mean, the announcers were calling him the best backup in the NFL, and maybe he is the best backup in the NFL.
He's just Andy Dalton.
You're right.
He's always been the best backup in the NFL while being a starter for a decade.
Zeke Elliott was the problem last night with the fumbles. But
he was the problem too, though.
But to answer your question, I do believe there is a part of Jerry Jones where he says, hey, the talent that surrounds the quarterback here is so great that I can plug in just about any quarterback and we'll have a productive offense.
You can't think that Jerry Jones expected that to be the drop-off when he signed Andy Dalton, at least in part, to be a threat to Dak Prescott in negotiations. I'm going to go get a name. There are plenty of people making the argument that whatever the gulf is between Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton isn't that great. And those people, I think, are guilty of some of the same stuff that has plagued that position for a really long time, where that used to be the model, but you saw on the other sideline what is coming as the model. And he didn't even play well last night, but he played well by doing a variety of things. 9 completions, Dugatz. 9. Kyler Murray won a game last night 38-10 with 9 completions.
Yeah.
He ran all over the place. He's a running back and a quarterback.
I mean, 10 rushes, 74 yards. Kenyon Drake was great last night. They ran the ball very well, 261 yards and 35 carries. You're right. Kyler Murray left a lot of plays on the field. He was not spectacular, but man, do I love watching him play. Like, that kid is going to be so good. And when he takes off, it's impossible to stop. I mean,
the Dallas Cowboys could not have expected what is happening in front of us. Cody, what did you make of last night where Kyler Murray is beating the Dallas Cowboys 38-10 with 9 completions?
It was amazing because I don't know how many times that's ever happened where you score 39 points and have a bad passing game. But with guys like Kyler and Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson and others, you have 2 quarterbacks for the price of 1, essentially. You have the ability to have them look like running backs if you need them to be, and that's the opposite of the Andy Dalton. But I think the construct with NFL rosters is you, and I'm not saying it's right, but you want the safe veteran as your backup, the Joe Flacco, the Andy Dalton. Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami is going to make the ideal backup for Tua Tagovailoa. I think that's just the way general managers and owners think. You want the safety net as your backup guy, and I think that's all Dalton is.
But if the position is so important, and it is, and it's so fragile, and it is, why would you not put more value in the backup quarterback? Why not try to get 2 Kyler Murrays? Why not try? I mean, not that there's two out there.
There's a salary cap. I mean, you can't. You got to pay those people. I mean, the Raiders did.
I think it's worth it.
The Raiders paid Marcus Mariota a whole lot of money.
The Eagles got a lot of flack for doing it, though. Like when they draft Jalen Hurts, everyone freaks out, especially during a global pandemic where part of the strategy is we don't know if we're going to have our quarterback and what happened to Cam Newton is going to happen to us. So we need to make sure this quarterback room, number one is spaced out, and number two is talented.
What is your best guess, though, on what the next 10 years of that position are going to be? Is it still going to be a Flacco type or a Dalton type in 10 years, or is it going to be Jalen Hurts because there's going to be a movement
versatility at the position?
They're
teaching it at the grassroots level now. Everyone knows how much easier mobility makes the position. When Bomani joined us on the Big Suey, he wasn't even attaching the athleticism that most people attach to and project to when you talk about a black quarterback. It's going to be very difficult for a transcendent talent to be this statue back there. You need to be Peyton Manning. I mean, you even see Arch Manning,
but yes, he can move.
Even he has the athleticism now. I don't want to shut the door because there is going to be an arm talent that gets beat up and you just can say, wow, that arm is just dynamite. But for now, it seems as though you have to be mobile to play that position.
Are we going to look back at 40 years from now at Eli Manning the way we look at Sid Luckman? Like 40 years from now, we're like, wait a minute, how was that cement-footed thing? Able to win championships without moving around at all.
Don Lebatard.
You want me to get real?
Stugatz.
I'll get real.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Greg Cody, giving the Straight Talk, is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Greg Cody is about to give you a Back in My Day. That is coming in 15 minutes. Billy's useless sound montage is before that. We will get to that in just a second. It's a highlight of every work week for all of us, except for Billy.
I was going to say not all of us.
Yes, except for poor Billy, who gets dragged into a dungeon and will be relieved when this is something that never happens again in his life, where every week he's got to go and find all this useless sound. But this is an affliction right here, what I'm about to read to you, Stugatz, that has only plagued me for the better part of a quarter of a century. And it doesn't matter how I talk about this stuff. The reaction is always some form of this. Good Lord, Lebatard, saying Jerry won't pay Dak because his skin color isn't the same as Troy Aikman. GTFO.
You don't get the show.
You GTFO. You. You GTFO. That is not what I said. I'm wondering if the prototype at that position can snow the evaluation in terms of measurements.
So it is kind of what you were asking.
Yeah.
GTFO yourself.
I must admit, I heard you say that. I'm like, I got to get my coffee.
You don't think it's possible that an 80-year-old man would analyze the quarterback position as a statue? You don't think that's possible?
I'm not doing this with you, man.
You don't think it's possible that an 80-year-old man older than Bill Polian would make the same mistake Bill Polian made?
Can I have my coffee, all right?
Yeah.
Time now for Billy's useless sound montage.
This week we're faced with a significant challenge, one that we're excited about because, man, we love being in the kitchen. AFC North ball is in the kitchen. It's hot in the North.
I play to win. That's part of my philosophy. The only way to learn to win is play to win.
In every game, you're going to have some kind of a storm, and you got to fight through the storm.
We were punched in the mouth tonight, and we didn't respond how we should have.
They are a tough-minded group of people.
We have a lot of tough dudes on our team, physically and mentally tough.
I've been sipping Gatorade on the sideline, relaxing instead of hiding my nails.
We're bonding. We're getting to know each other. That's football. Like, you don't just go out there and play football. You got to care about the man next to you.
He just has that rare size, strength, and speed combination that it's really extremely rare.
We also know that we're going to improve because we believe in one another.
The arm that Derrick Henry has been saying is doing a lot of curls obviously has been doing a lot of triceps and shoulders as well, because you don't do this to grown men who have families to take care of.
Man, that was varsity ball today.
He's grown in his ability to use his eyes as a weapon.
I don't point fingers, you know, I point thumbs.
We're not worried about the past, we're worried about right now, and the next game is the most important one.
We got to learn from this one and kind of forget about it as quickly as we can.
The one thing I'll say about our players in that regard is they haven't blinked.
We're not into statements. We'll let you guys make the statements. We're just going to line up and play against those that we're scheduled to play against, and they were next.
It's an extremely important game, but that's because it's the next one.
Now, we transition our attention toward the battle that awaits us in Tennessee.
I know that if we keep working hard and doing the right things, good things will happen.
There are no moral victories in the NFL.
We gave up the first quarter, but we won the second quarter pretty good.
Our O-line played their butts off today.
You know, I think not turning the ball over helped a lot.
Taking it one game at a time.
A loss is a loss.
It is what it is.
I just feel like the sky is the limit.
Not every ball needs to be a fireball. It doesn't have to be a howitzer all the time.
I knew it was coming to me. All I was saying, to make sure I secure the bag. Secure the kids, not the bag. I'm sorry.
You know, there's been a lot of pressure, obviously, that they put on themselves, that we put on them.
We have no room to look through a telescope. Our focus should be with a microscope.
Everybody stepped up and stepped in.
You just have to play well, you know, in this business.
Practice execution becomes game reality.
Great teams find a way to win a game.
We just got to keep grinding.
Bad teams win with prettiness. Great teams win no matter how it takes.
If you guys were in any other division right now, you'd kind of be in the basement, but you're not in any division. You're in the NFC East.
Great observation.
The sky may be falling for the next couple of days, and listen, I bring my umbrella, my raincoat, and everything else that I need.
You're 1-4-1. How do you view the record in the context of everything going on?
That's right where we should be. 1-4-1.
All right, Billy, I've got some questions here.
In the mix.
Who is the person who points thumbs, not fingers? Who was that?
Dan, that's Cam Newton. And thank God for his interview yesterday on WEEI and the Greg Hill Show, because he had some gems.
All right, so how about who was secure the catch, not the bag?
Let me look. Hold on. Okay. Let me check the list. But Nick Foles is probably your answer for all the other ridiculous things that were said, because he had quite the week this week.
Well, the prettiness, win no matter how. Like, he was trying, whoever it was trying to be eloquent and failed miserably.
There's a couple of things I loved here. Ron Rivera saying he always plays to win. He never played to win until he had to play to win. Now he always plays to win. And no one loves to transition to the next opponent more than Mike Tomlin. I mean, he loves a transition of focus.
I also learned that the AFC North is played inside a kitchen.
In a kitchen. That's right. It's in the kitchen.
Hot in the North.
It's always great. Greg Cody's life is polluted at every turn, polluted with useless sound from the football locker room. He has built his empire. Greg, look at Greg Cody. Greg Cody, does that make you sad, or are you laughing at how empty all of those sound bites are?
Well, I was thinking to myself when I was listening to that, what's the useless sound Hall of Fame first ballot entries? Because I heard we take them one game at a time, which has to be up there among the all-time evergreen cliches. Every once in a while, though, something different slips in, like the thumbs instead of fingers or whatever that was. That at least it's useless, but at least it's inventively
it's
useless. Different.
It's not a first ballot Hall of Fame useless.
Right, exactly.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Greg Cody's Back in My Day is next. I'm just saying, he's near 80 years old. Dak Prescott, he didn't value him the way some people thought he should value him. Dak Prescott was really good at the beginning of the season. He signed Andy Dalton.
Don Lebatard.
I don't want your beak leaning over the plate.
Stugatz.
Step back, Jack.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
The Dan Lebatard Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. ESPN investigates Season 2. The Running Man podcast drops today, October 20th. Excuse me. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast.
Mike, why are you shaking your head sadly? Why are you sadly shaking your head?
We're not proud of that one. Chris Cody produced that one, and he's never seemed more like his father's son by sending me a Ronnie and the Daytonas song.
So that was disgust. You were shaking your head sadly because you were disgusted by what Chris Cody produced.
It's not overly creative. It's just, is the punchline that the song is Ronnie and the Daytonas?
Time out. There was a plan and a discussion there that was not just dropped in out of the sky.
I got a text. Hey, man, took a hack. And yes, you did.
The song is Little GTO, and Dan was saying GTFO. It's funny.
You took a hack. Keep taking hacks. Also, you are a hack. But that's okay. Christine Lisi must be despondent right now. Her Bills lost last night, and they didn't look very good.
Listen, she's as professional as they come, but you can hear it. She is trembling, stuttering in the update. She's made like 7 mistakes already.
Oh, wow. Okay, so let's see if there are any more mistakes to be made.
Didn't
here.
Look as bad as the Cowboys.
That's right. That's some real whataboutism from Christine Lisi. Let's go ahead and play the kazoos for her.
And finally, Peter Madsen, the Danish millionaire who captured headlines after he killed a journalist on a submarine, broke out of prison yesterday, threatening guards by claiming he was carrying a bomb. He was swiftly recaptured a few hundred yards away from the prison in Copenhagen. Madsen was sentenced to life in prison in 2018 for the murder of a journalist whose body was found in August 2017 after she boarded his homemade submarine to research an article about the inventor. Starting off a little dark today.
I mean, good God. It doesn't fit with the kazoos. Like, yes,
what happened
she is in a bad mood because of her bills.
I mean,
what's happened
really
there? She is lashing out at everyone. She is murderous. That passes for a murderous rage for Christine Lisi. All right. Thank you for being on with us, Christine. We'll get to Greg Cody's Back in My Day in a second, but this is a quality tweet here from Mina Kimes. Cowboys D getting exposed by Kyler Murray's Zoom. The story that was trending yesterday was a bit unbelievable. This guy from the New Yorker who didn't know that he was on a Zoom work-related call while he was exposing himself. Cowboys D getting exposed by Kyler Murray's Zoom. It was his Zoom. 9 completions is all he had last night and all he needed. And I understand many of you writing in that the Cowboys are injured, their offensive line wasn't good, their defense is terrible, that Zeke fumbled too much. But that's 10 points. Like, that's, if you're going to measure a quarterback by winning, you can't let Andy Dalton escape when he scores 10 points in a 28-point loss. And he's throwing, I think he had like 30 more completions than Kyler Murray. You never see what you saw yesterday.
You don't, Dan, but you have to factor in. I think the Cardinals scored 14 points off those 2 Zeke Elliott turnovers. Those were, and Zeke, you know, he vowed he would not fumble again the remainder of the season, after having some trouble and then fumbled twice, big spot, and the Cowboys needed that game. I mean, it's hard to blame Andy Dalton when Zeke does that. You know?
I mean, it is just 10 points, though, Stugatz. He scored 10 points on offense, and we don't have any questions about their skill players anymore, do we? One of them seems to have a fumbling problem, but we know that Lamb, Cooper, and Ezekiel Elliott, that's really good, right? We know that that is part of why Dak Prescott was really good, correct?
Yes, I'm 100%. Their wide receivers are very good. Their running back is obviously excellent. And you're right. I mean, Andy Dalton should have had a better game offensively. They probably should have had a better game. Football's weird, man.
The difference, though, between the Cowboys last night and the Cowboys the rest of the season is that Dak Prescott was in the MVP conversation because he was overcoming all of that to come and beat Atlanta. He was overcoming. Zeke's been fumbling all season.
Listen, I understand what you're doing with Dak and Jerry Jones. I get it. But some of that is on Dak. There are a number of people who said, Dak, do not take another snap for the Dallas Cowboys until you get that long-term deal. And he kept doing team-friendly stuff.
I mean, take
the long-term deal.
I would have been fascinated to see what would have happened if this is how Cowboys season had started and Dak Prescott had been holding out, because Jerry Jones caved when he started 0-2 with Emmitt Smith holding out. I would have been fascinated to see what would have resulted from a holdout from Dak Prescott.
Don't you think it has more to do with Carson Wentz famously wanting more money than Carson Wentz? And you see now the hack in that sport is getting the quarterback on the cheap contract. So you put the skill, the expensive skill around them to make them look great. Dak has benefited from this, and so have the Cowboys. It's been mutually beneficial. When you tie up all your money in the quarterback, you need to have a Russell Wilson type. You need to have one of those transcendent talents. We're all trying to figure out which tier Dak Prescott's in. So while you're posing an interesting conversation, something that has merit, you're also the host that poses the question, why would you tie your salary cap so much behind that position when you just keep taking hacks in the draft and try to find the cheat code?
My larger issue, and I don't think this is actually something that is front of mind for most people listening right now, My larger issue is it makes no bleeping sense that there's a salary cap in that sport, that you have to find cheap at quarterback because you've got a salary cap. All these rich guys, I want to see Daniel Snyder and Jerry Jones fight over Dak Prescott. Why wouldn't you want to see that in your sport? But the fact that the players agreed to a salary cap and they're partners and they made that deal, to me, is just unfathomable. Because imagine what Patrick Mahomes would get in a sport that didn't have a salary cap.
I mean, he already got $500 million.
That's what I'm saying.
What do you think Jerry would have paid for that? He would have gone up from that.
It would have been great. Right. I mean, the salary caps protects Jerry's of the
from
world.
Jerry. From no, Jerry's yeah, of the world. Protects. We'll get to Greg Cody. I'm sorry about this, Greg. We got sidetracked here, but you made what of this as it relates to a football conversation? We'll get to Greg Cody's Back in My Day here in the next segment.
Well, I mean, you know, I always come off on the side of the owners, according to you. But in this case, the NFL is the healthiest league fiscally in the world, probably. And so the salary cap is working for the sport. I mean, I don't know how much simpler to put it. I think it's fine the way it is.
The salary cap is working for the business of the sport. You should not root for the business of the sport. You should root for the sport. You should root for your teams. You should root.
I root for the quality of the sport.
You should
and
root
I think
for labor. You should root for labor.
Yeah, but to Greg's point, I think Jerry Jones, because of age, because of how much money he has, because he doesn't give a bleep, would probably outspend just about every owner and every single player.
Wouldn't you want to see it?
Well, no.
I mean, you wouldn't want to see it?
The Cowboys win every year? No.
Well, what do you mean? The money doesn't guarantee you anything? What does it guarantee you?
It guarantees you Patrick Mahomes.
The Rays are in the World Series. The Rays are in the world. Anybody could have had Patrick Mahomes. He was available to everybody cheap.
I understand that, but once he becomes a free agent, I don't know the gulf between Jerry Jones and Kroenke and, you know, Mark Davis.
But why
with
should
the Raiders.
You care? But why should you care? Why are you protecting these people
because
from themselves?
Because the Jets will never get a player.
I mean, your owner
saying
has money. Your owner has money. They're in New York.
Yeah, but my owner doesn't care the way Jerry Jones cares about winning.
Yeah, but you're always picking high in the draft. You just haven't nailed it.
By the way, it's not my job to root for the players. It's the job of the players' union to represent their side. And if they, in a collective bargaining way, agree to this, then that's on them.
Agreed, but that's not what I was asking you. Because you say it's not your job to root for labor. It's not your job to root for ownership either.
No, it's my job to root for a quality team, a quality league, for a good product. You know, I'm neutral on the side of labor versus players. I look at the whole, and the NFL is as good as it's ever been in terms of excitement and talent and parity and all that stuff. And health and fiscal health.
Don Lebatard.
I love me some doctors. Have a lot of respect for the medical profession.
Stugatz.
Except chiropractors.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Today on ESPN Daily, the 2020 World Series starts tonight with the Dodgers and Rays. Break down the path that led both teams here in the most unlikely of seasons. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. News from the Dan Lebatard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. MLB Network host Robert Flores at Roflo responds to the useless sound of the day montage by saying, quote, "I just heard a saying and I've never been so angry. I don't point fingers, I point thumbs. Thank you for ruining my day at Lebatard Show."
That's Cam Newton. You don't point fingers.
A little Roflo. How about that?
You point thumbs. You point thumbs because they point right back at you. That's accountability. I've got another tweet here from an at Brad Vangeli. He says, "Watching Lebatard Show, and my mom says the guy in the middle just picked his nose. I didn't see it, but it's Greg Cody in the middle, so I 100% believe it." Greg Cody, you're being accused of picking your nose. It has been your greatest contribution this hour. Let's see if you could fix that with this Back in My Day.
Picking it.
And now it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Reviews. What is with our burgeoning national obsession with reviewing everything? Everything. restaurants, movies, the cobbler up the street, your podiatrist. Anything and everybody is given a rating nowadays. Cottage industries have arisen for the sole purpose of giving you a forum to weigh in on what you think of a product or service. Yelp, TripAdvisor. Back in my day, if you wanted reviews, you could buy a Consumer Reports magazine for professional appraisals, not rely on the anonymous review of some disgruntled customer with an axe to grind. My wife is a Yelper, one of those loyal review readers, like if we're trying out a restaurant for the first time. How about I don't give a crap what somebody else thought of the place? How about I experience it for myself with no preconceived notions and be pleasantly surprised or disappointed without filter? You read a review of a restaurant and it says, an otherwise enjoyable dining experience was dampened somewhat by the severed finger in my lasagna. Don't you know that that review was written by the owner of the failing restaurant next door? The guy with nine fingers. I write a review of every meal I eat. It's called a tip.
Oh, wow.
Great food and service equals big tip. Cardboard steak and disinterested waiter equals modest tip. That's my review. I might tell a friend and a relative about the place if they ask. What I don't get is the imperative to leave the restaurant, get on your smartphone or laptop, and immediately share your personal experience with complete strangers. I don't know who's sadder, people so self-important as to think their review is going to, like, matter, or people whose confidence in their choice is so fragile they need to consult anonymous strangers for advice. Try this. Navigate life on guile and chance. Thinking of a new car? Take a test drive. Don't particularly like the restaurant? No harm, no foul. Just don't go back, Jack. Wander through life enjoying new experiences and the minor risk of unguided choices. Go a month without looking at Yelp. I think you're going to be just fine. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Should you navigate life on only guile and chance? I love when Greg Cody goes after some of the modern structural pillars.
It's much more exciting that way. You would agree, right? Show up to the restaurant. Find out for yourself if it's good or not. I mean,
I do think, though, that it is a helpful guide if the majority, even there, I go representative sample size. Even in the comment section of your Yelp review. It's why I like Rotten Tomatoes. Billy was very flattered that Roflo has been checking out his art. Look at him. Look at Billy.
What
smiling.
A thrill.
I mean, you are radiant.
Big day.
Yeah, thrill. I mean, it's not every day that Roflo comments on something that you had a hand in, you know?
Billy also enjoyed this Ryan Clark sound that we're about to play for you. This is not your grandfather's football analysis.
Much like the great L. Duncan that we got from Georgia, there's a great group called the Migos, and one of my favorite songs from them is How You Go Big on Big, and that's what we're going to see this week. Derrick Henry running the football for the Tennessee Titans, a guy that's just almost impossible to stop, and also this Pittsburgh Steelers defense that is tops in the league against the run.
That you don't normally hear those two things together. Is that Migos, Mike?
Greg, how you go big on big?
How you go big on big, Greg?
I don't. I go medium on small.
What do you want?
And I don't know who Roflo is, by the way.
You don't
what
know.
Do you want to do
you don't
spot?
Know who Roflo? What I want to do is give us radio that's good. Why do you like? What is it that you're doing to us there, Cody?
I'm just asking. Who's Roflo?
You are listening to Dan, Stu, and Cody on ESPN Radio.